Welcome in on this Wednesday evening. It is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com and streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd.
Yes, sir.
If you weren't listening between 3 and 4:30, we took a whole lot of calls on Marcus Mariota and that elbow injury.
Yes, we did.
And he spoke today after practice. He did participate in practice. Jack Conklin and Taylor Lewan were limited in practice, but they are getting closer. But Marcus Mariota did practice today, and he says he's getting better, but he's still frustrated. Mike Vrabel says he's about the same. Let's just hear it from the horse's mouth. Let's hear Mike Vrabel after practice today addressing Marcus Mariota.
How is your quarterback doing today?
I'd say about the same.
At this point, you just prep both quarterbacks and be prepared for whatever happens through the next few days?
Yep, I think that's all you can do is make sure that getting guys ready that could play in the game for anything that may come up, and then have to make a decision that is in the best interest of the team later in the week.
How do you divvy up the reps?
Try to split them, the best that you can. Try to give the one, the reps that you think one guy needs as opposed to what the other guy needs.
That was Mike Vrabel on the quarterback situation earlier today after practice. He did a good job of answering the questions without answering them, right?
Yes, he did. He didn't tell us a thing.
I will say this. Mike Vrabel, early on as an NFL head coach, has coach speak down to a T.
Oh, he's got it. How do you divvy him up? We split him. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
Mr. Obvious. So that was Mike Vrabel after practice. Now, here is Marcus Mariota, who went pretty in-depth on the elbow injury and the nerve injury in that elbow.
Well, it's getting better. But, yeah, it is frustrating. It is hard because it's one of those things like you can't really do a whole lot. It'll kind of calm down and feel better as it wants to. That being said, though, it is getting better. And, I'm glad I was able to be out there today. The way that they explain it to me, it's like when you strum a guitar string. When that string settles down, that's kind of similar to how my nerve is. My nerve's kind of been strummed, and it's going to take its time to settle down.
So that was Marcus Mariota describing his own elbow injury, and as Joe Rexroad affectionately said last hour, that was a great Music City way of describing the nerve injury in his elbow, right?
Perfect, really. I mean, if you're going to describe it, yeah, guitar string.
So Marcus says he feels like he's getting better, but he also sounds frustrated and has no idea what percentage health he is, when he's going to be able to grip the football and throw the football well enough to play. And that, to me, is worrisome, even though he could wake up tomorrow and feel just fine and be back to normal.
Right.
I'm still worried that 10 days later, this is still an ongoing issue.
Well, and I think, it's like we were saying earlier, when's this going to end? If it's that uncertain, he doesn't know what percentage. Mike says it's about the same, which means is it improving or not? And yet, Marcus says it is, and all of those kinds of things. Well, if you don't know how close you are to 100%, then are we talking about your 40%? That means it might take 10 weeks, or are you 96%, mm-hmm. which means Friday will be good? I don't know. And maybe he truly doesn't know. This is such an odd injury. But it seems to me that there needs to be much, much more clarity on all of that.
But what I would worry about is that he feels good enough to play. He can throw the ball well enough to play. He can throw the ball beyond 15 yards with some accuracy. He goes in there, and he's fine for a couple games, but then it flares up again. I worry that I'm not a doctor. I'm not pretending to be a doctor. I'm just, as a fan, just expressing some fears that what if he goes in there and he's fine, let's say, this week or next week or week 5 at Buffalo, and then he's fine the next week, but then it flares up again and he's out another 3 weeks. Like I have no idea. I don't think anybody truly knows when he's going to be completely healthy and fine moving forward.
And I think when we were talking about Jack Conklin earlier, and when you asked about it, I said, well, the doctor would tell me, as soon as the doctor can tell me he's not going to hurt it anymore, it's not susceptible to being injured more than the other knee. soon as you get to that point, then you're playing ball. You know, it's ball. And that's what you want to hear. That's what you're hoping. But it sounds to me like nobody knows when that is, you know, if that is. And, you know, can you re-injure it again? We don't know that. I mean, if you go out and just throw the ball, does that – remember last week he was full go on Wednesday, and then it had to be cut back the other 2 days. So, you know, if that's the case, did he re-injure it a little bit by going to work on Wednesday and throwing? Because, I mean, we have to keep in mind, on Wednesday there wasn't really much discussion about any of this stuff. You know, all these things we're talking about now, it was not – now we knew he got hit and we knew he got – but he practiced all – so everybody kind of went – I mean, when I left the show last Wednesday, I'm thinking to myself, hey, he's good to go. All right, ready, break.
Yeah.
Let's go. And next thing you know, he's – by the time we get to Sunday, he's not even playing.
Well, next thing you know, Friday, 48 hours later, Mike Vrabel saying, I expect to see both quarterbacks playing.
Yeah, good point.
What?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
So this injury kind of sounds like it could be a roller coaster, and that roller coaster has kind of been Marcus Mariota's career with Tennessee. And that roller coaster, as a Titans fan, has me worried that long term he may not be the franchise quarterback.
And you have to worry about – I think you hit it right on the head. You have to worry about the fact that, you know, is he going to go out there and play one quarter – and then this thing start reoccurring and have to leave the game again, and now it's going to take another 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, you can't survive that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't run a franchise that way. And we had, I mean, you know, us, I mean, McNair was as hurt as any quarterback that's ever played, but he was still there, what'd you say, 85% or 89% of the
right.
time, whatever it was, because he found a way. I mean, he played with some stuff now. I mean, some stuff that not many people could play with. Now, he was able to pull that off because he knew how important it was for him to be there. And I know Marcus knows how important it is for him to be there. We just got to find a way to get him there.
I mean, I don't think anyone is questioning his toughness.
No.
But, like...
availability.
Yes. The best ability is availability.
Yep.
And he's not always available. And... franchise quarterbacks are normally available to be there every Sunday, and you can count on them to play. And it's just frustrating as a fan how you can see Marcus, some games he's great, some games he struggles, and then some games he's not in there at all. And in year four, the worrisome part is that we're still talking about this with Marcus. We are still talking about injuries and health as it surrounds Marcus Mariota. You know, the old question of ifs and buts or candies and nuts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, every time you have a conversation about Marcus Mariota, before this ever happened in Miami 2 weeks ago, you can say all these great things about Marcus, all these potential things about how he can adapt to Matt LaFleur if he stays healthy. If he stays healthy. Or, but he's always hurt. Or, but he's injury prone. And... I'm tired of this.
And the hard part is, I mean, it didn't start off that way. You know, his rookie season, I can't remember ever talking about an injury. You know, it just wasn't a factor. It wasn't a factor in college. It wasn't a factor in his career. And so you're thinking to yourself, okay, here are the areas he's got to improve for us to be better, on and on and on. And then over the following 2 years, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Now here we are, the start of the fourth year, and we're right in the middle of it.
Well, you know? It was midway through his rookie year where he suffered that knee injury against Miami at home. It's almost like he has some voodoo spell on him when he faces the Miami Dolphins with late hits that cause injuries. But he suffered a knee injury against the Miami Dolphins that year and then suffered a knee injury on the road against the New England Patriots, and that kept him from playing in four games as a rookie. And that was 2015. 2016, he has the broken leg in week 16 at Jacksonville. Last year, the hamstring injury, missed a game. He was never 100%. He won a playoff game, which had me excited, had the entire fan base excited. And then, you know, in week one this year, he has this fluke elbow injury. And, you know, I made this comparison early in the show, and it's been since I was like 4 years old since I played the game Operation. But if the game Operation had some dude on the game – with a number 8 jersey, in two-tone blue, that would be Marcus Mariota, and he would have a lot of red on him. He would have red at the elbow. He would have red at the hamstring. He would have red at the knee and red at the leg for all the injuries that he has sustained since breaking into the NFL. And that is a concern.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And like I said, it was so funny because it's like a wave from the standpoint that, you know, his rookie year, there was nothing. Then all of a sudden he gets dinged a couple times his rookie year, and you're thinking, okay, young guy, and this and that and the other. And then all of a sudden you get the knee, and it's hammy, and pretty soon, like you say, you're thinking of yourself, you're thinking, we just keep talking about something.
And it's not like it's one injury. It's not like the knee, and it's the knee every time.
Yeah, it's something
it's
different.
It's all over the body.
Yeah.
And it just makes me wonder if his body is built and well enough to be a trustworthy franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
I guess that is my concern, and it's a growing concern with each passing day and each passing week. A lot of you want to talk Marcus Mariota, and we will get into that next. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman. Alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, this is Jared and GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show, live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios. It is Jared and the GM, Ryan Porth, in for Jared Stillman this afternoon, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, during the break, I got a text from a buddy of mine asking, who's more injury-prone, Marcus Mariota or Jake Locker? I can't believe we have gotten to this point where Marcus Mariota is getting Jake Locker comparisons. Now, Marcus Mariota has not been as injury prone as Jake Locker in his career. Marcus Mariota has played in 43 of 50 games. He's only completed 39 of those 50. He's only finished those games. That is 78%. Jake Locker played in 52% of the games in the three seasons when he was starter. Like, Jake Locker was the definition of injury prone.
8 games a year, you didn't win many games. That's the reason why, you know.
Now, Marcus Mariota is creeping himself closer to that injury-prone label, and some people will put that label on him, and you can't really disagree with it. It's just his injuries aren't as severe as Locker's. I mean, when Locker got hurt, he was done for a while. Like, those were 4 to 6 week type injuries.
Yeah.
Or even more. Marcus, it's week to week.
And I don't I wasn't here with Jake, of course, but my gut was that, I mean, some of those he brought on himself.
Yes,
you know, he would not back down.
He was almost reckless.
Yeah, he was reckless as a quarterback.
Yeah, he was reckless. And the other thing I'll say is that Marcus Mariota on the field is so much better than Jake Locker was. Jake Locker could not hit the broadside of a barn when he was throwing the ball. Marcus, at least when he's playing and he's upright, you feel like he can win you a game.
Right.
He may be inconsistent. He may have a bad game. He may have a great game. But you feel like he can win you a game. Jake Locker was a total bust.
Marcus, the strange thing about Marcus is, like, last year, you know, missing time and all those things. I mean, he still leads the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks and things like that that are really, really important stats. And you would say to yourself, it's like 2 years ago when he was so good in the red zone. You know, I kept thinking, anybody that's good, that young in the red zone, this guy is going to be in a position before long where he's really going to be, you know, something special.
Right.
And it's kind of gone downhill from there. You know?
Right. Quick update from practice. Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were both limited today but are getting closer to playing. Joe Rexroad, last hour of the Tennessean, said he expects Taylor Lewan to play, but that he feels like Jack Conklin is very questionable. We'll see how that pans out as the week goes along. There is no Dennis Kelly at practice today. Marcus Mariota did throw some passes at practice today. He says he's getting better, but is still pretty frustrated with the ongoing situation with his elbow, which has prompted a lot of your calls. Let's go to John, who has been waiting patiently. John, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
There's an old saying, if somebody shows you who they are, you should believe them. And Marcus Mariota has showed you, you know, this many years in the league, you know who he is. And I know that everybody wants him to succeed. He's a good guy, drafted number 2 overall. But he's about to walk into a big contract if the Titans sign him. And I just hope that it doesn't set their franchise back. because this could be who he is for the rest of time, and that's who you're going to be stuck with. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Yeah, thanks, John. The one thing I'll say to that is that Alex Smith early in his career was very injury-prone with the Niners and right. doesn't seem to be very injury-prone anymore.
No.
And things seemed to change once he went to Kansas City. Matthew Stafford was very, you know, he had some big injuries in the first 2 years of his NFL career, but he's been perfectly fine ever since. So I guess it's something that can get better, but it just feels like Marcus Mariota is, he's a fragile pane of glass whenever he's in the pocket.
And the hard part for the franchise, as we mentioned before, I mean, at a point in time here, just like the caller mentioned, there's going to be a contract at issue here. And what do you do with that? And the bottom line is now you can't give a guy $100 million that's going to be there 75% of the time.
But,
I'm sorry.
But if these injuries continue, can Marcus Mariota realistically demand that? If he can't stay on the field?
No, I don't think he can. But this becomes the question. Will somebody else give him that money?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what his agent, and before they make that decision, the agents will have a pretty good indicator as to who loves him. Regardless, Chip Kelly is back in the league coaching.
Woof.
Chip Kelly loves him. You know, Chip Kelly's going to give him whatever he wants. I mean, just things like that. So you don't know.
Chip Kelly might be back in the NFL next year the way things are going at UCLA.
Guy's awful.
Brian has been waiting patiently. Brian, welcome into ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Guys, I've been listening to your station for a long time, and when I turned it on today, I was glad to hear your voice, Ryan, rather than the petulant adolescent Jared, because I just couldn't take another 4 hours of Marcus Mariota's recent hangnail. And then that's all we've talked about today. I mean, y'all do realize there are other sports, other teams, other things to talk about than Marcus Mariota. I mean, I'm a Titans fan. I pull for him. I follow him. But I get it. He's got a nerve injury. He's questionable. But every 4 hours, I mean, like, talk about something else. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian, for the call.
Thank you,
I appreciate it. I mean, look.
I guess he's tired of talking. Yeah.
When we were talking Marcus Mariota last segment, we did not give out the phone number once, and all five lines lit up.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to talk, you know, we run promos on this station saying if you're talking about it, we're talking about it. If you're calling in to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. Let's go to Thomas, who wants to weigh in on Marcus Mariota. Thomas, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good.
Good deal. Well, you know, I'll be short and sweet. I think we can all agree that, you know, Mariota's a great dude. He's humble. He's, you know, got the best interest in the team. He's a team player, all of that. The injuries are another concern. That's something entirely different. But what I saw today on the interview after practice today, his body language is not there. I don't see any confidence in the guy. And quite frankly, I question his toughness and his mentality. And I don't think he has the grit to put the team on his shoulders and command that offense in a way that's going to help us be successful.
Thanks, Thomas, for the call. Floyd?
Yeah, again, more concerns. I mean, I understand what he's saying. And we've talked about this, about Marcus, and, you know, before, but Marcus is a quiet guy, you know. Marcus is not extroverted. He's not boisterous. He's not loud. He's laid back, and there's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. But I think, you know, there are points in time where he knows the quarterback position from a mentality as well as any young guy I've been around or I've seen. And he knows how important it is for him to display maybe something that he's not real comfortable with every once in a while for the good of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may be at a point like that where he needs to think about it and say, okay, I understand this is my position, you know, my role. This is all the people that look up to me, and I need to go beyond. It may not be completely comfortable for me, but it'll make a world of difference for everybody else.
Shameless plug, the season debut of Preds Insiders will be coming up at 6 o'clock. I will still be rolling along here, Floyd. You'll be rolling back home to Sally.
Exactly right.
You know, eating dinner and everything, and I'll still be here in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios, you know, talking Preds at 6 o'clock. Robbie Stanley of NHL.com will be joining me. It is the season debut of Preds Insiders. We certainly look forward to that. But coming up next, whether Marcus Mariota plays Sunday or not, it is a big game against the Jacksonville Jaguars down there in Jacksonville. Does the game mean more to the Titans or the Jaguars? We'll get into that next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth, filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back to the show. Ryan Porth filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon on your drive home on this Wednesday in Music City. GM Floyd Reese.
Sir.
Join us as the American Cancer Society hosts your favorite Tennessee basketball coaches and help finish the fight against cancer at the Coaches versus Cancer Tip-Off Gala. That is tomorrow night from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at City Winery. For more information on Coaches versus on this Coaches versus Cancer event, visit acsnashvillecvc.com. acsnashvillecvc.com. You got that?
Got it.
Awesome. Sunday, Titans-Jags in Jacksonville. Whether or not Marcus Mariota plays, this is a big one. This is a big AFC South showdown in Week 3. And we started the show this way, and I wanted to bring it back up again because I thought we had a pretty good discussion earlier in the show about this and the fact that you feel like this game Sunday means more to the Titans on the field than it does Jacksonville. Is that correct?
That's correct. Only because, you know, the Titans are 1-1, another division opponent. We've played them pretty well in the past. They're already 2-0, so they've already got a game lead on us. And, you know, we don't want that to continue expanding. So, in my mind, if we end up, you know, winning this game, not only are you back tied with them, you're actually half a game ahead because you've beaten them. I mean, let's face it, if we went through the first half of this season beating the two best teams in the division, you're in pretty good shape now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless of what happens with some of these others.
That would definitely be huge. I think, and I can't disagree with anything that you just said, but I am going to disagree and say that this game means more to Jacksonville emotionally because of what the Titans did to them twice last regular season, beating them twice. They smoked them down in Jacksonville in Week 2 last season. And Marcus Mariota stiff-armed Barry Church into Mother Earth in Week 17 to clinch a playoff spot. There was a lot of verbal back and forth between Jarrell Casey and Malik Jackson. I think Jacksonville is going to be playing with an edge on Sunday. And I would expect the same out of the Titans, but Jacksonville looks like the best team in the AFC.
Right.
And if they come out with their A game, playing with a chip on their shoulder, I worry what the Jaguars, what they might do to the Titans on Sunday, even if the Titans have Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, and Marcus Mariota in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we mentioned earlier, I watched them play this weekend and left with the impression that, in my mind, they were the best team in the AFC, maybe if not the NFL, but certainly in the AFC. Not that, you know, there wasn't just one person better than everybody else on the planet. I'm talking about the whole team is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, the receivers are playing good. The line's playing good. Fournette's going to be back and healthy. And that defense now, that defense will keep you awake at night.
Oh.
I mean, you look at those guys and up front, they're tremendously talented. The linebackers can run like the wind, and we know how good that secondary is.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye.
Oh, yeah. Church. I mean, stout.
When Blake Bortles is playing as well as he did Sunday against New England, that team's going to be almost impossible to beat because of the weapons that he has around him.
The difference being they were beating teams last year by him doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I just turn around, give it out to Fournette, get out of the way. You know, at the end of the game, who was it? I can't remember who they played somebody in the playoffs where he threw for like 77 and ran for 85. You know, something like that. And I think when you can still win as many games as they did doing that is one thing. But when you take that person, that quarterback, and allow him to get in a position where he can gain, you know, 400 yards or 350 yards, whatever it was, and four touchdowns, now that takes you from a really good team to, you know, maybe the best.
Well, and think, they didn't have Leonard Fournette Sunday against the Patriots,
exactly.
And they walloped them.
Yeah.
And it's because they have so much depth offensively. They've got T.J. Yeldon and this little cat, Corey Grant. I knew nothing about him before Sunday, before watching that game. And apparently he's in his fourth season out of Auburn, and, you know, he's been on the team and playing in the last few years, but he stuck out like a sore thumb. He looks like a little Darren Sproles in that offense, and it made me wonder, or made me wish the Titans would have gone out and got a third running back this offseason. They have Derrick Henry and they have Deion Lewis, but right. If one of them gets hurt, they're on an island as the only effective running backs on the team, whereas if you had drafted somebody or signed somebody that can be a little scat back out of the backfield and provide what Corey Grant provides Blake Bortles in that Jags offense, I mean, I think that could have only enhanced the Titans offense. But you look at Corey Grant, T.J. Yeldon, Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, Dante Moncrief, and then you have Leonard Fournette potentially coming back this week.
And they have, I think, the credit to Tom Coughlin, however he put that thing together. But, I mean, those are the guys. Jacksonville has always had pretty good players in pretty good spots, you know. I mean, they for a couple of years, have had this defensive line, and the linebackers could run. But they've done an outstanding job of bringing in the Barry Churches and bringing in these free agent
Calais
receivers.
Campbell on the line.
And
yeah.
Even these free agent receivers that you don't really – you've never heard of. They come in and play like crazy, just like the kid you're talking about. You know, you never hear of him, and all he does is go in and just go up and down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're saying to yourself, how do they get him that mature that quickly when we've got, you know, we've got a fifth pick and another young guy, and, you know, they're having a hard time learning the system.
Absolutely.
So.
But kind of the point of this is Jacksonville has all this talent. They play well together as a team. And I kind of think they're going to be playing with a swagger on Sunday with something to prove against this Titans team that beat them twice last season. And look, this rivalry is coming back to life.
Oh, yeah.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, the only thing that we had to look forward to between the Titans and the Jaguars was Color Rush Night on a Thursday night football game between the Smurfs and the peanut butter jerseys.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awful football when the Titans and the Jags got together over the course of 5, 6, 7 years. But before that time, when Jeff Fisher was still there and when Jack Del Rio was there and Tom Coughlin and, you know, in his first stint with Jacksonville, These games were nasty. They were physical. There was animosity between the two teams. And I hope that both teams can keep ascending and get to the point where the Titans and the Jags, they absolutely hate each other.
Yeah, back to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And there shouldn't be – I mean, that should be something that happens. I think Tom Coughlin, that's always been in his, you know, his gut that season that we ended up in the Super Bowl beating him down there. And, you know, they lose three games all year long and all three were to us. Just things like that have been just gnawing at him forever.
Yeah. Now, the Jaguars did have that redemption factor this past Sunday against the Patriots because of what happened in the AFC Championship in January, where they blew that 10-point lead in the AFC title game in the fourth quarter, and the Patriots came back to go on to the Super Bowl. Jacksonville, you could just tell Sunday Jacksonville had a redemption factor. That game meant more to Jacksonville than it did New England. And I do think they're going to have a little bit of that swagger, although we see this all the time in sports, not just football, any sport. There is such thing as a letdown factor.
I think that, and we have to believe that Bortles is going to come back to Bortles.
You think Blake Bortles will be Blake Bortles at some point?
Yeah, and if that happens, that means he's going to throw you three and give you a chance to – you know, get some big plays out of it.
Blake Bortles on Sunday against the Patriots was 29 of 45 for 377, 4 touchdowns and 1 pick.
Wow. Well, he hasn't. I mean, we played him twice last year, and I don't know that he threw for 377 in both games. I mean, you know, he's gone into games against us and games we've seen before and after, you know, where he is struggling.
Last year against the Titans, Blake Bortles had 1 touchdown and 4 picks in 2 games.
There you go.
And his completion percentage both times were under 60%, and he was god-awful in Week 17 here in the 15-10 loss.
Yeah, and that's what we have to hope for, you know, that all comes back. Now, if they're smart, and they're going to turn around and give it to Fournette enough times that, you know, they're not going to give him the opportunity to screw it up. But sometimes after a game like this, you know, like you're saying, he goes out and he does this, and everybody's looking at him and going, wow, that's the guy he's here. Now let's use him. And then you wake up Monday morning and you're going, did he really throw 3 interceptions again? <You
know? laughs> Yeah, absolutely. And the thing to remember, too, if Marcus Mariota does not play Sunday, I don't know how much you can take away from it, but Blaine Gabbert, when he was with Arizona last year, did beat this Jacksonville defense.
Yeah.
He did beat them. He went 22 for 38 for 241 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, I don't know how much you can take away from it, but it is a lot of the same defense that he would be facing. It's not like those are numbers against Jacksonville from 4 years ago.
No, that's almost the defense almost identical.
And it was late last year, too.
Yeah.
When Jacksonville was on a roll and the Cardinals found a way to beat them.
So,
fingers crossed.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. We've been talking Titans all day, Floyd. All
been
day.
Going. Yeah.
Let's talk NFL buy or sell. Ian and I have been looking forward to this all show long, and we will finally get to it after the break. What are we buying and what are we selling in the National Football League? And we will have participation behind the glass from the great producer Ian Safar. We will get into that next. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show. Jared, the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth, filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Join Jared and the GM every Friday at 5:45 as Jared and Floyd select their picks on the 6 big games in both college and NFL action. 6-pack picks is brought to you by Porvoo. Get all your tailgating needs at Porvoo off Indian Lake Boulevard in Hendersonville. Floyd, I think there's room for improvement in 6-pack picks for you guys.
You know, all of the segments on all the shows that we do all week long, I would advise people to listen to. You can miss that one if you want to miss it. That one is horrible. Yeah. Neither one of us can get it right.
You guys were both 1-5 last week. And Floyd, you beat Jared like a drum last year in 6-pack picks, and through 3 weeks, you guys are tied.
Holding me back.
I mean, come on,
man's
Floyd.
Man's holding me back.
I have high expectations in 6-pack picks for you. Before we get to NFL buy or sell, funny tweet. Someone tweeted, Ryan Fitzpatrick has 16 more passing touchdowns in his career than, quote, Hall of Famer, end quote, Troy Aikman in 44 less starts. Troy Aikman, quote, tweeted that and said, who cares? I guess Troy Aikman and all those rings that he has. That's a mic drop there for Troy Aikman. All right, Ian. Let's get to buy or sell in the National Football League.
All right. A couple of hot NFL topics on the docket for this week.
All right.
Thought we'd go through and, you know, see how you guys feeling about them. All right. 2 ties in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season.
Woof.
Are we buying or selling the trend of more ties perhaps this year? Both ties actually in the division games, which could make things tricky. Are we buying or selling the trend of more ties, or should we try to find a way to eliminate the tie altogether?
I think we need to find a way to eliminate the tie altogether.
Thank you.
I don't. You know, what's sad is that we've changed the overtime rules to give teams, but then we shorten the period.
10 minutes.
So, I mean, there's not enough time for somebody to win it. And a whole series of these ties, I mean, I don't think it's good for the league, really. But when it comes to deciding who the champion's going to be, I mean, it's going to be tough.
I'm buying the fact that there will probably be more ties in the NFL, but I'm selling the fact that ties should exist. I mean, ties in the NFL, come on. It is the calendar year of 2018 of our Lord, and we are still having ties in a professional sporting event as football. Like, go back to, one, go back to 15 minutes for overtimes, and B, if a game's not settled after 15 minutes of OT, go to the college format and put the ball at the 40 or whatever yard line you want to put it at in the NFL and see if you can trade possessions and find a winner. If someone pays $150 for a ticket to the National Football League, they should not see a tie.
Well, and I would agree with you. If they want to move it back to 15 minutes, I'm fine with that, and then give both teams possession. If you're going to keep it at 10 minutes, then forget the both teams possession rule and just go.
Right. Ian?
All right. Second one here. Big offseason trade. Kansas City Chiefs traded away your boy Floyd, Alex Smith, to the Redskins. Mahomes has come in, one of my favorite stats of the week, 6 touchdowns, 5 incompletions. Are we buying or selling Kansas City offense and Mahomes for the rest of the season?
I mean, I think I will buy Kansas City's offense. I guess that includes Mahomes, although, I mean, he obviously, in my mind, can't keep up this pace forever. But I think what this does represent, and we've been trying to sell forever, I mean, the kid sat for a year and watched a pretty good quarterback, in my opinion, in Alex Smith. If you want to learn the trade, you know, the right thing to do with the ball, where to go, how to be smart, all of the basics. Maybe not be spectacular like he is, but learn the basics. Alex Smith can teach anybody and do it well.
If Pat Mahomes had the weapons of the Tennessee Titans, I would sell that offense because I think other defenses would catch up. If Pat Mahomes' targets were Corey Davis and Delanie Walker and Derrick Henry, no offense to them. But the explosiveness and the game-changing ability of Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, I will absolutely buy that Chiefs offense for the rest of the year. I don't know if they're going to win games in the playoffs. I mean, I think the lack of defense will catch up to them.
Yeah.
But I will absolutely buy that defense or buy that offense.
Oh, yeah.
It is lethal.
All right, the Giants in their draft passed on a quarterback, took Saquon Barkley overall, second overall. Eli Manning in the offense struggling early on. Are we buying the Saquon pick over Darnold or another rookie quarterback for the Giants?
Ooh. This has been a good Twitter debate, Floyd.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't, to be honest, I have to assume Eli's going to go for another year or two, in which case I'm okay with Barkley. He did not look very good the other night at all, but I don't know how much of it's his fault and how much of that offensive line is horrible. I mean, they are awful, and I'm not sure that it would, you know, if it would have been a rookie back there, it might have been uglier than it was. Well,
right.
It would have been uglier than it was. You know, I guess I'm fine with taking the running back. I have no problem.
You know what? Initially, I've been on the Saquon Barkley train. I love Saquon Barkley, the player. But if you're the New York Giants, Eli Manning's getting up there in age. He is not the quarterback that he used to be. And Saquon Barkley, his talents could be wasted if Eli keeps playing. Because Eli, it's just obvious he's not himself anymore. And he probably just needs to hang it up in the next year or two. For this pick to work, big picture, and for the Giants to be a successful NFL team, in my opinion, the Giants have to find a quarterback in the next couple years to put with Saquon Barkley. Then you can have a lethal offense with Odell Beckham as well. I mean, that could be one of the best trios if you find a good quarterback in the draft. The thing is, the Giants haven't had a run game ever. Like, they haven't had a run game since Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. So I can see the Saquon Barkley pick, but I will say a good running back can only take you so far. Like,
right.
Barry Sanders was fantastic in his NFL career, but he had Rodney Peete and Scott Mitchell as his quarterbacks in Detroit, and he only won one playoff game in his career.
But I keep thinking with them, when I look at them and I look at the two receivers, because they've really got two receivers and a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to the running back. And you think to yourself, okay, they ought to be able to throw the ball, complement the running game, vice versa. But the problem is they really can't do either one because the offensive line is so bad.
That's a very good point.
I mean, they're horrible.
I will only what was the exact statement? What are we buying or selling on this one? On this debate between Barkley and Darnold?
Should they have taken a quarterback or Darnold instead of Barkley overall?
I will only sell that if they draft a good quarterback in the next couple of years. If they don't, then yes, I will buy that. So I guess I'm answering it without answering it.
All right. Following the loss to the Jags, are we buying the Patriots' demise? And perhaps is the AFC more wide open than it ever has been before? Are we buying or selling that?
I'm not buying the Patriots' demise. I am buying that I think the AFC is going to be more wide open. And I think part of the reason it is because New England is going to come back down to earth a little bit. You know, I think when it gets into the playoffs this year, you're going to have, you know, three or four teams that are really going to be pretty good going at it. And therefore, I think that part of the year, which is always exciting anyway, but it may be the most exciting, you know, playoffs we've had in a while.
I am selling the Patriots' demise. We've seen this before from the Patriots where they have an early season loss and everybody freaks out. Everybody thinks the sky is falling in New England, and it turns out to be just fine. Remember in 2014 when they lost at Kansas City on Monday night and everybody was up in arms and said, it's over?
Oh, everybody.
They lost 41-14 that night.
Oh, yeah.
They won the Super Bowl that year. Yeah. I'm selling that there is a demise with the Patriots.
All right. And the final one here, a couple of my favorite stats. Only three running backs rushed for 100 yards this past week. Philip Lindsay on 14 attempts. Tevin Coleman had 107 yards on 16 attempts. And Matt Breida from San Francisco had 138 yards on 11 attempts. While the quarterbacks and wide receivers are just putting up massive numbers. Flacco, 376. Mahomes, 326. Big Ben, 452. Cousins, 425. Are we buying the passing rushing trend the rest of the season? The rest of the season.
I am.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt but that the passing trend is going to continue to expand just because of the rules, if nothing else.
Right.
You know, the whole system is set up for that to happen.
I'm buying it mostly because they're protecting the quarterbacks like they're gods. I mean, you saw the roughing the passer call on Kirk Cousins from Clay Matthews. They're protecting the quarterbacks to the tone where the quarterbacks can feel more comfortable standing in the pocket and chucking the ball.
Sure.
And scoring is up this year. I will say the product of the NFL in the first 2 weeks has been a lot better than it was the last couple of years.
Certainly been more exciting.
Even though that Cowboys-Giants game was like watching paint dry, a lot of those games have been awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm buying that the passing stats are here to stay. So that is NFL.
Nicely done, fellas.
Nicely done, Ian Safar, behind the glass.
Thanks, Ian.
That was NFL Buy or Sell. That was a lot of fun.
That was. I like
and
that.
And the last 4 hours have been a lot of fun, Floyd.
Yeah.
As I filled in for, as you put it affectionately, the chunky fella. And the chunky fella, Jared Stillman, will be back tomorrow. Right here at 2 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But it's been a lot of fun, as always.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
For the GM, Floyd Reese, I'm Ryan Porth. I'm sticking around. Floyd's going home. He gets to go home. I'm sticking around. Preds Insiders season debut coming up next. Robbie Stanley of NHL.com joins me in studio next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.